And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
From Macklin Celebrini to Connor Bedard, let the Keeper League debates begin. Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Keeper League Edition. Nick Elberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
A lot of keeper decisions, Nick. I promise I will be keeping you for one more year on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast as we wind down the fantasy playoffs, right? Right into our finals and 1 week away, just a little over a week away from the NHL playoffs as well. This episode is brought to you by Skip.
Skip to the good part.
Get the groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Jake, here on this pod, we're always ahead of the curve, man. Like, the season hasn't even ended. We're talking about keepers. I have no clue what's going to happen in a day from now, but we're thinking about the summer. We're thinking about next season, man. This should be fun.
It's Ivan Demidov season, Nick. If we weren't talking Habs enough, and we should be with the run that they've been on, making a playoff spot. We'll see who they end up hooking in the first round. Likely the Washington Capitals, but Demidov now a part of the conversation. How excited are you? And okay, 19-year-old coming over from the KHL. How much are we reading into his KHL numbers? What kind of impact do you think he can have for the Habs? And what are we looking at for a keeper for going into next year?
Well, firstly, I need producer Bobby to do some digging. KHL Fantasy on Ice. KHL Fantasy on Ice, their equivalent podcast. I want to find out what they're saying about the demigod here.
I got some sources in the Kremlin, okay, and in the KHL, by the way, and I'm not a Russian spy. The demigod, all right, he's going to make an impact early and often for this Habs team. And if you're the Capitals, you're looking around and you're saying, oh, the demigod, he's going to be the real deal.
I like that. Great analysis. 49 points in 65 games. Jake, I'll be honest, I have no clue what to expect. He could be Vadim Shipachev, your boy from Vegas. Remember, he played like four games back in the day, or he could be Kaprizov or somewhere in between. But do you think Demidov grew up as a kid loving hockey, and he's like, you know, one day I wish to play with Alex Newhook? Because that's about to become a reality, Jake.
There's one Alex I think he wants to share the ice with, and I don't know if it's Alex Newhook. I think it's Alex Ovechkin, and he's going to be on the other side of the ice, possibly in a playoff matchup. I mean, how cool is that for a 19-year-old kid that likely grew up in Russia, idolizing Alex Ovechkin? Now you get to play playoff games against him at the Bell Center. So that's a cool wrinkle. Look, Nick, I don't know what he's going to look like in the National Hockey League right now. I always temper my expectations. A 19-year-old, the KHL, the no-hit league, it's the NHL is a totally different story. Like, you're coming over here playing physical playoff hockey. I don't know if I expect him to totally hit the ground running, and I don't think he's going to get a top role on Montreal right away, right? That top line is already stacked. We know what their power play combos are going to look like, so I would think that he's going to struggle to get consistent minutes, but who knows with these young guys? Maybe he gets a nice line assignment right out of the gate and can hit the ground running.
I just wonder, too, about the chemistry of that room. For one guy in that room, you're going to be shelved out of the lineup potentially for a 19-year-old phenom, right? The fifth overall pick in 2024. I think, you know, line deployment's intriguing to me because Montreal is still looking to clinch a playoff spot. They got a big game coming up in Ottawa on Friday. They visit the Maple Leafs on Saturday. That'd be a pretty damn cool setting for an NHL debut in Hockey Night in Canada against the Maple Leafs. But where do you see him early on? Like, I think he's a kid who has to play in my top six. So I made the joke about Newhook. He's centering the second line. Maybe you put him with Newhook in line eight, or do you just elevate him to that top line, take Slafkovsky, put him to line two, and see what he can do with Suzuki and Caulfield here?
Well, we talked about this with some of the college kids coming over, right? Like, you're not going to bring them over and just put them on the fourth line and play them 10, 11 minutes, not give them any ozone starts or anything like that. I think you got to find them some kind of offensive role, but I think if you're Montreal, I don't know if you want to tinker too much with what's going on. It's been so successful for them. I don't think you want to slow down the chemistry. So I look at something probably in the middle six. Maybe you look to get him a couple touches on the second power play as well. Montreal has to be one of the most intriguing keeper teams moving forward, guys, with Slafkovsky, Demidov, Lane Hudson on the back end. You go down the list, this Montreal team looks like they're set up for success for years to come.
Absolutely, guys. I wanted to chime in because we released our top 100 keeper rankings, keeper in Dynasty. It's 25 and under players. We just updated me and Means last night. So we got Lane Hudson and Nick Suzuki in the top 10 from Montreal. Then in the top 25, we have Caulfield, Slafkovský, and Demidov. And then the other wrinkle that's really interesting for the years to come, I feel like the Habs need a goalie, and Jacob Fowler has signed his entry-level contract. Not with the team right now, but I expect him to be a major player in keeper leagues years down the line.
Yeah, I certainly want a piece of that pie. You guys know what I bring up every time we talk about young goalies, man. Caden Primo, still waiting for him. Devin Levi, Spencer Knight. I'm just very, very careful when it comes to young goalies, and very seldom does a guy hit right off the bat, even if it's out of college like Fowler. But yeah, Jake, I think it's exciting from Montreal's perspective because I think that team is ready to take that next step. And you look at the next wave as well. They intrigue me. San Jose, the Anaheim Ducks. Like, those are probably the top three teams I look at from a keeper league perspective and say, you know what, I might be into some of that pie there.
I'm with you on those three. I mean, Anaheim's been very impressive here down the stretch and getting me excited about some young players. Again, careful to get too roped in on the Ducks in terms of like putting them in a playoff spot next year. But from a fantasy perspective, I think a team that we could certainly attack. You hope to see that step in San Jose. What about Chicago? Like, I know it feels very slow. They cannot waste year three of Connor Bedard, Nick. Year two of Bedard, I can give them a little bit of a pass. This is a huge offseason for the Chicago Blackhawks. They have some intriguing keeper names. I think going into next year, where are you at on the Blackhawks in this rebuild? Because it does feel like it's taking a little longer than some would like.
Delivered by Skip, we have our first massive debate here on the podcast today, the Keeper League edition. I look at Pete's list. Before coming on doing this podcast, and who do I see at number one, fresh off a five-point night? Macklin Celebrini. Who do I see at number two? Connor Bedard. That's why, for me, guys, way too early to make an assessment on Chicago. Are you going to add around the guy? Because they tried to do that last offseason. But I won't lie, I think his value has dipped substantially, clearly, in year two. The fact that he's around the same point total, around the same goal total. We think this kid's a phenom. You got to prove it. I mean, there's a list of players before here, Jake, that have shown that they're able to produce regardless of who's around them. Maybe I'm taking for granted 60 points and 20, 25 goals here from Connor Bedard, but there's another level, Jake, is what I'm saying.
I'll let Jake jump in there momentarily. I just think it's the right time to kind of say this. Phenom. This is all I've heard from Nick. This guy's a phenom. He's incredible. He's McDavid level. He's not a superstar. Okay, I've seen enough to know he's not a superstar. And I'll say this, Bob, once again, Jake was right, and Nick Albergo was wrong. I'm ready to say that right now. Okay?
Do we have like a jingle for that or something? I think we not might yet. Need one in the future. Maybe you get Bob. Bob can sing that. I'm not ready to go there with Bedard just yet, but it has been a very disappointing second year, to say the least. And Nick, this offseason, I think, is as crucial as it's going to get. You mentioned it. They tried to surround him with parts, but come on. We're talking Tyler Bertuzzi. It's not like they went out and brought in all these huge pieces. I think they gave it an effort, but this offseason, like, I need to see something around Connor Bedard because it's just not happening. And felt like for 90-95% of the season, he wasn't having a whole lot of fun playing hockey. So they need to unlock that out of Bedard. We know there's talent there. We saw it in year number one, but it took a major step back in year number two. And I don't blame Pete for putting Celebrini at one right now, Nick. I really don't. I just visually, I see it more with Celebrini. He looks like a stud in this league and feels like he's already got more around him in San Jose than Bedard does in Chicago.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Hypothetically, you bring in, say, like a Mitch Marner into Chicago, Connor Bedard's value just skyrockets. Like, he's got nobody to play with, boys.
Petey, the floor is yours. I know. Look at, he's got a little saliva dripping out the side of his mouth. He's so ready to go. And why Celebrini is ahead of Bedard? Go ahead, Petey.
Yeah, he just looks like the better two-way force. And I feel like he's also putting up the points. Bedard is a very explosive offensive player, but what does he end up being at his ceiling? Is it a Mark Scheifele type player? That would be fine and good, but I feel like the next level of superstardom is like trying to mirror the game that Crosby brought in his point per game plus season as a rookie way back when. And I feel like Celebrini has a lot of similarities there. And I also love the wrinkle, guys. We also have Will Smith in the top 15, 20 of the rankings. He's not only on the same team as Celebrini long-term, he's playing very well with him on the same line this year.
A lot of value in the San Jose Sharks. You got Celebrini, Will Smith, William Eklund, and a guy, Pete, you're very fond with, who's played the majority of the season in the American Hockey League, and that's Yaroslav Askarov, Jake. Where do you view Askarov heading into next season? Obviously a turbulent season for him, year one in San Jose here.
Well, as we know, goaltenders are very difficult when it comes down to it. Just in general, I mean, fantasy goaltending, trying to predict what these guys are going to do on a year-to-year basis is already hard, especially with these young guys, especially when they're on teams like San Jose, where even going into next year, Nick, I mean, how big of a leap do we expect San Jose to take, and how many wins can he accumulate? So from a keeper perspective, I still think you're looking a little further down the road. Like you need team success before you can get that goaltending success, and I don't know. I just find with goaltenders, I'm a little bit more willing to part with them in terms of a keeper. Like if you only have three or four keepers, for example, going into next year, I don't know if I'm spending one on a guy like that, because I just think there's so much risk involved and I'm not going to see any upside for possibly 1 or 2 years. So for me, I'm kind of out for the moment on some of these goaltenders on rebuilding teams like Askarov.
Yeah, I need to see him play a big chunk of games, but I always wonder, too, when it comes to like a Dustin Wolf in Calgary, regression candidate 101, I think. You look at the Calgary Flames in general, have had an unbelievable season, taking a step in the right direction, but I always wonder with young netminders, how do you view a guy like Dustin Wolf heading into next season, Jake?
I love Dustin Wolf. I know I just said how skeptical I am of goaltending, but I really like this guy a lot, and I'm curious where the Flames go from here, because I know they had a nice season. They're a nice story. Okay, do you push some chips in the middle? Do you try to tinker? Do you do like what Washington did in the offseason last year, right, Nick? Like rebuild on the fly a little bit. You don't have to tear it down. You keep some of your veterans. You infuse some youth. I think Calgary has that opportunity. Obviously, Washington is the peak of that model. So I'm curious to see what the Flames do here. But I like the talent of Dustin Wolf. I think at the very least, Calgary's going to be a wild card bubble type team, kind of like how they were this year. So I think there's some value in Wolf. And I want to get your take on Anaheim as well, because there's so many interesting names there. Is there one that maybe jumps out to you the most, like a Cutter Gauthier, Mason McTavish? I kind of like what I'm seeing from Gauthier, at least late in the season, starting to shoot the puck, get some more minutes. Is there anybody out of that crop of young players in Anaheim that you prefer a little bit more?
Well, I think as we've seen this year, Mason McTavish is ready to pop off. If you do recall, had a really, really sound junior career. But I'm going to go with Leo Carlson, just because of the pedigree, how long it's taken him to sort of get to this level and find consistency at the NHL level. And I think he's poised for like a career breakout next season. I'm always careful with Anaheim and teams like that, because it's like, yeah, you're going to take that next step, but who you taking out in the conference, in the division? And that's my wonder, but it would probably be Leo Carlson, Jacob.
Well, and let's remember, too, they're asking Leo Carlson to play first-line center in the NHL, yep, which we know is a very difficult task, especially in the Western Conference, going up against some of those tough matchups. And I think you have to temper your expectations from a points perspective when you're asking a guy to play that kind of two-way game as well. And now we're starting to see the points come for Leo Carlson. So I think he's getting more comfortable with both ends of the ice, and eventually that offensive side of the game is going to come, which we are seeing. I like Cutter Gauthier a lot. I know I mentioned Mason McTavish a ton on the show throughout the course of the year. I clearly do like him, but I like the way that Gauthier sets up for next year, Nick. I think he's kind of lying in the weeds a little bit more minutes. It feels like he's a guy that could end up being a volume shooter when we get a bit more of a file on him. So Cutter Gauthier for me going into next year.
Delivered by Skip, we got a tasty, tasty question about a guy we talked about almost ad nauseum heading into this fantasy season. Now with Carolina, Logan Stankoven. Right, I had a couple bets on this kid to win the Calder Trophy, and unfortunately, I think his value in fantasy hockey has dipped significantly with the move from Dallas to Carolina. Do you view a guy like Stankoven in a different light right now?
He's tough, because as a player, I really like Stankoven. I would want him on my team, absolutely, and I understand why Carolina had some interest in him, but I always temper my expectations with Hurricanes players, Nick. They just spread it out so much. Like he's not going to go up. How long have we been waiting for Andrei Svechnikov to pop in fantasy? Like really? Like are we just done at this point? Yeah. A good young player, a guy that, okay, at times can certainly pop and have a great game, but he always just leaves you wanting more. Outside of Aho, it's so hard to find anything consistent in that Carolina offense. So I'm not saying I'm out on Stankoven the player, because I do like him. I think he suits Carolina well. I think he could be a good piece for them moving forward. But from a fantasy perspective, I just don't know how much value he's gonna bring us back next year.
And to be fair, you just never know what's going to happen. Maybe Carolina comes out next year, unlikely, and is like a juggernaut offensive team, and they're very top six heavy. And the reason why I bring that up, because I had a scandalous tweet the other day, I guess, about Montreal potentially being a regression candidate next year, where I think it's difficult, and you would agree with this, I'm sure, going from the hunter to the hunted. How many times did I bring this up? And I bring this up for a variety of reasons, but you look at three specific teams, even from a fantasy perspective, who people were relatively high on going into the season. Vancouver, Nashville, the New York Rangers, and Jake, look at some of their files right now. Nobody's touching those guys.
Well, and we're going to see bounce backs next year. Do we see a bounce back in Vancouver? Do we see a bounce back in Nashville? I think Nashville's a fascinating team because everybody is going to be off the Predators. They make these big moves last offseason. Sometimes it just doesn't work out in year one. Do you throw a line through it? Does Nashville run it back with this same group and see if they can bounce back? The Rangers are another fascinating team, Nick. Do we think they bounce back next year and get back to being a playoff team? I don't think they're headed towards a rebuild. I mean, you don't do a rebuild when you're paying Igor $100 million, whatever the heck they're paying him to play goaltender for them. And the Boston Bruins as well, another fascinating team. Maybe not a lot of exciting young pieces for us in terms of a keeper, but do we get a bounce back from the Bruins going into next year? Or have we actually seen that shakeup in the Atlantic Division we've been waiting for years?
Oh, Boston's another great example, right? A year ago, Jeremy Swayman was starring in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That team looked maybe ready and primed to go on a bit of a run there. And now you look now, like, do I really want Swayman? Do I want Pasternak? Charlie McAvoy's had a dinged up season. There's so many questions. Delivered by Skip, this is the most polarizing question in this week's mailbag, guys. Somebody asked, what do I do with Elias Pettersson? And that's a really question.
Which Elias Pettersson?
The forward Elias Pettersson. Okay. The dude who doesn't really want to play hockey. 64 games, 15 goals, 30 assists, 45 points. Jake, what are you doing with Elias Pettersson?
I'm out. I feel like I've always been out. I'm not going to jump back in. I get the case for him because the value, the perception is probably as low as it's ever going to be with Elias Pettersson. Canucks are going to miss the playoffs. So there is some buy low potential here. I totally understand that. But I think sometimes, Nick, if you're out on a file, you're out on a file. Even if it does dip to a point where you feel like there might be a little bit of value there, I've just never been an Elias Pettersson guy. And I don't think Vancouver is set up, unless we see a massive change in their style of play going into next year, to be a great offensive team.
Everybody wants to know why. Why with Pettersson? The mystery. What's wrong with him? How could this guy, full of potential, gave him the big contract? What could have gone wrong with this player? Nobody really knows, except for me. I do. I know the secret. I know the exact moment where this guy's career went off the rails. And I'm not going to disclose the information because I have sources close within. All right, that I have to protect my sources. That's what I do. That's why I'm a phenomenal reporter. I will just say this. There is a moment, specific, very, very specific. You wouldn't even think of it, where this guy's career went off the rails. And I hate to say this, I'm with Jake. I'm out. It's never coming back. It's over for him. And maybe someday when I'm old and gray, okay, and I have a cane, maybe a little walker or a wheelchair, and I'm in a leather oiled chair, and I'm mic'd up and there's a camera crew filming me, I'll disclose what that moment is for Pettersson and where his career just disintegrated, okay? That's just the facts, all right? I'll just leave you with that.
Should we take some guesses here, Nick? Like, was it bad tuna fish sandwich or
something?
Yeah,
maybe, like, it was food poisoning, like chicken wings.
Bad pina colada, White Lotus style.
Off the rails, all right, Petey? Off the rails.
What does this all mean, the fall of Vancouver? Nice comeback the other day with the three goals in the final minute. I'll give them credit for that, but this is disappointing, guys. What does this mean for the keeper and Dynasty League value of Quinn Hughes? Arguably the best defenseman in the league, but the supporting cast around him, pretty rough right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's perfect, right? Because we just talked about Connor Bedard being able to do something out of nothing. I think Quinn Hughes is a perfect example of that and a perfect reason why I think he should be entrenched in the Hart Trophy conversation, right? They're not going to make the playoffs, but I think it doesn't matter from Quinn Hughes' perspective. The points are still going to come. I still wonder about a potential coaching change there. There's a lot of smoke around Rick Tocchet. I think he's going to be the most highly sought-after coach this summer, and maybe Vancouver's a team, Jake, that turns things around really, really quickly. But it's just amazing and astonishing to me. A year ago, we're talking about the Canucks being an embarrassment of riches in fantasy hockey, and now it's like top five teams I'm staying away from, period. Even, you know, in between the pipes with Thatcher Demko there.
Well, they do have Pius Gretzky, or should I say Pius Suter, the way that this guy's playing right now. True. So maybe it's not this offense that's loaded that we're going to be lining up for going into next year. I do think they could be a team, as much as me and Bobby agree we're out on Elias Pettersson. I think there's some other names you could probably get later in your draft because nobody's going to be interested in the Canucks, but I'm probably still out on Pettersson. I think the one that we are obviously in on, and Pete mentioned it, is Quinn Hughes. I don't care what's surrounding him. He's going to find a way to create offense. He is that good. So I believe in Quinn Hughes, but that's basically where it ends. Nick, I predicted the Canucks to miss the playoffs this year. Nice. I would honestly have them out of the playoffs again next year, unless they make some major changes in the offseason. I look at the crop of teams in the Western Conference. I don't see playoffs for the Vancouver Canucks.
Jake, where are you at in Washington and St. Louis, man? I don't know why I see a pathway where both those teams miss the playoffs next year. Everything we just talked about, Vancouver, Nashville, the Rangers, they were givens. And that's why I think nothing is given in this league. And you look at Washington and St. Louis, a lot has gone right for those two respective franchises this season.
I think St. Louis is the most interesting one to me, Nick. Not that Washington isn't, but we've talked a lot of Washington throughout the course of the year and how surprised we've been with how the season has gone. But St. Louis was the one team, or one of the teams going into this year, I had no read on whatsoever. I thought, are they going to be good? Are they going to be bad? They're likely probably just going to be average. And for most of the year, they were. And now all of a sudden something has clicked. Like, can we believe in Kyrou and Thomas as top players? Can we believe that what's been happening in St. Louis for the last couple of years is actually working? I guess we're going to wait and see what they do come postseason time, Nick. But I am starting to actually believe in that roster. We're getting a taste of some young players. Dvorsky coming up through the system as well. They get the two players from Edmonton. I'm starting to believe in what St. Louis is doing over there. I think they could be a playoff team next year.
And lastly, delivered by Skip, we got a question about what's a good potential young defenseman to covet. Well, I got a guy for you, just got signed by the Calgary Flames. Zane Parekh, ninth overall in 2024, had an unbelievable year with the Saginaw Spirit. 61 games played, 33 goals, 107 points. They need a power play quarterback, so maybe look at Parekh moving forward here.
What do you think about Levshinov out in Chicago as well? Is it too early? Maybe we talk about the Blackhawks and that rebuild and how, I mean, I want year three of Connor Bedard to go much better. I know they do as well. Is there a chance that they just give him the keys to the car on the first power play next year and say, let's run with it, and maybe we can catch a little bit of value there?
I don't think so. I think they're going to highlight a defenseman to go after this summer who can run the first power play, because you don't want to give a young defenseman specifically too much too quick, and I think they got to be careful about that in Chicago.
Yeah, and Jackson Lacombe as well out in Anaheim. I think he's probably more ready out of the two. I just asked you about Levshinov, Nick. I think Lacombe is probably more ready in terms of a fantasy perspective going into next year to probably give you some value. And that Ducks offense looks like they could take a nice step going into next year.
Guys, all those Anaheim Ducks guys, you know, collectively benefit Jackson Lacombe, who, along with Alexi Protas, goes from not even on this list at all in the preseason to in the thick of the top 50 conversation. Alexi Protas in Washington, also a really good story in terms of their trajectory. Even when Ovi retires someday, right, with Ryan Leonard, they got Cole Hudson coming from BU. He's an absolute beast. People are talking him up, saying he might be just as good as his brother on the blue line. And Protas and his younger brother, Ilya Protas. So they're both property of the Capitals. You believe this? I mean, even after Ovi is over and done with in his immaculate career, this team is shaping up really well for the future.
That's right, Petey. What's better than one Protas but two Protas? And can we get this guy some power play time, Nick? He's been doing it all even strength. Get this guy a little spot with Ovi on the power play, maybe going into next year, and we could see those numbers pop.
Jake, would it be Prodi or Protases? That's my question.
Protai. Let's get them both on the power play next year.
I love it. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. As we bring in from Snapback Sports, been tracking, Alex Ovechkin was there for the big-time goal, 895. It is Tim Kalinowski. Timmy K, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much, fellas. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. I'm just watching the Masters. I don't really, you know, this is very secondary. We're locked in on the golf right now.
Who's winning the plus minus award? Who's going to have the worst plus minus in the NHL, Tim? That's my question.
The green jacket.
The green award you do not want to win.
pretty much. Man, there's just so much happening. That's kind of cool and really, really cool that you were there for the Ovechkin goal. But I wanted to ask you about the Capitals in general. I think they're prime for the picking to maybe get upset here in the first round, if in fact it's Montreal or Ottawa for that matter. But how do you view the Caps moving forward here?
I think everybody feels that way. And, you know, to me, when everyone seems to be going one way, naturally as a bettor, you want to try and go the other. But I totally see the case as to why people feel like Washington has some holes. I mean, this was a team that was like 60-1 to win the Metropolitan. And now, you know, they're at the top of the Eastern Conference right now. Montreal, I think is better news for Washington, but you know, I think their path is still pretty difficult. We still have a number of concerns. I think one of the biggest things here is that the Ovi chase is finally over for them, and they can get back to focusing on the actual task at hand. I think that has had an element to this as well. It's kind of a little Matthews from last year kind of smell to it.
Timmy, any of these wildcard teams you're looking to back maybe in the first round? I know Nick mentioned possibly Washington could be vulnerable. Maybe Montreal can get this thing going. Obviously, we know the Bell Center is going to be rocking. You got Ottawa over there. St. Louis, are you taking the Blues seriously? Or maybe even a Wild team that kind of lying in the weeds, getting Kaprizov, Eriksson, Ek back? Any of these wild card teams you're eyeing up for the first round?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nick. I'm sorry. But if Ottawa gets Toronto, oh boy.
I agree. I think Ottawa's going to win that series.
And the first thing with me is it starts with Allmark with Ottawa. That's what is giving me, you know, that extra boat of confidence there. The other teams you mentioned, Jake, I'm kind of lukewarm on them. You know, that's a group that like all is kind of in the same pack. It's like, yeah, pick your favorite one there. But I mean, Ottawa, looking at them, bet 365, 35-1 to win the cup. Look, you know, I know this Toronto team has changed their DNA a little bit, but if they get out of that series, you know, and then the other series, you know, in the East, we expect, you know, all those teams to beat the tar out of each other. If Ottawa can, if that can be more of a skilled track meet type of thing, and Allmark can kind of be the rudder to guide them through that, Ottawa, like, again, I'm sorry, but it's all aligning again, these Leafs.
Yeah, it's just the most Leafy thing ever, right? But regardless of who they play, I think it's going to be a tough opponent, whether it's Florida, Montreal, the Ottawa Senators, the Tampa Bay Lightning for that matter. Let's get into the card for this week and this weekend. I just want to get your general strategy this time of year, where I think it's the cards are usually very, very chalky, and I just tend to go with the favorites. They seem to win out, where the teams that are tanking are just not really interested in winning hockey games anymore. I feel that way at least.
Yeah, look, not to toot my own horn, I had a great season betting the NHL, but as we get to April here, it becomes a lot more difficult. I'm kind of hanging on for dear life, smaller cards, smaller plays, looking for more, you know, guys to have a point, that sort of stuff. But I think one thesis that I have, and I was kind of flushing it out before I went on here and seeing if I could make the numbers match up, was that a team that is not used to being in this situation. So you say like the Rangers, for example, they had playoff aspirations, cup aspirations, made the playoffs last year. So a team that made the playoffs last year and now is not in that situation, to me, I want to fade those types of teams because I think it's more of a shock value for them. When you look at a team like Buffalo, it's like, yeah, they're used to playing out the string. This is not the first time they've had to do that. So that's kind of the general thesis here is teams that aren't used to being in this situation, fading them.
Timmy, I love what you just said there. I totally agree. At the end of the season, you get those teams with high expectations coming into the year, like a Rangers or Boston as well, that looks like they're just tapped out. They're like, get me to the golf course. Get me the heck off of the ice right now, because we thought we were going to be playing playoff hockey, and then that air gets sucked out of the balloon. Whereas you get a Buffalo, you get an Anaheim, some of these teams just kind of playing well down the stretch. So totally with you on that angle last week of the season. What about in terms of totals going into the playoffs? We have seen goal scoring come down a little bit this year. Totals across the board, we're seeing a lot more 5.5s. Maybe we even see some 5s come playoff time. Or are you looking at some lower scoring hockey come playoff time?
Come playoff time, again, I tested this a lot last year. It's like games 1-4 overs, games 5-7 under. In the books, you know, shockingly, the books have gotten better at this. But you know, the best way to bet now hockey and pretty much, you know, baseball's in this territory too, is the day before, the night before. So once we get into this rhythm of the Stanley Cup playoffs, you could have a game five coming up, a game six, and the second the previous game ended, they could hang that line, that maybe that six or that five with the positive juice on the under, and that's what you got to hit right away. So you got to be on the ball. This isn't for people that want to turn the game off and go right to bed. Okay, you got to have the Bet365 open, and you got to attack.
I like it, Timmy. Let's attack the card for the next couple days and wrap here. Detroit at Florida on Thursday night. Give me the Panthers puck line. I just don't believe in Detroit. Also on Friday, Montreal at Ottawa. The Habs have just owned the Sens, so I think you can find value actually in Montreal. And Pete's going to like this one. San Jose at Edmonton. I know Wallman missed the other game the other night for the Oilers and that win against the Blues. I think he was sick. I like the point prop. I like the video tribute. Anything you're looking at here, Timmy?
It's all about the starting goaltenders. You have to monitor that this time of year as well. Teams getting their aces, a little bit of rest here. I'm going to, when I look at Friday, I'm a little intrigued to say Red Wings Lightning over. That Red Wings team, they do not like to defend. So when that number pops out, I'm just going to blindly take the over because it's going to be a Friday night, Nick. And Friday night, we want goals.
How about Thursday night, Capitals, Hurricanes, potential second round matchup. The Hurricanes just dummied them up pretty good. I don't know if the Capitals are sober yet after the Ovechkin chase. They have had 3 days off, so it actually worked out perfectly for them to party, but it's pretty significant home dogs in this game, guys. So I kind of like the Capitals here. Again, maybe there's a bit of a letdown after the Ovi chase, but hard to ignore that plus money, Nick, with the Washington Capitals on home ice.
Definitely, Timmy, just to wrap, we need a Masters play for you, and we need a Frozen Four pick from you, please.
Ooh, okay. Frozen Four, I'm going to go BU, Masters. Let me check the scoreboard real quick. I am on Morikawa, so I'll just stick with that. I'll go with Morikawa.
Timmy, excellent job. We love you. Thank you so much for your time today.
You guys are the best. Appreciate it.
Gotta love it. Our main man, Tim Kalinowski. Speaking of which, Petey Props, you enter the equation now. What's going on, buddy? What do you got for us?
I like the nickname for sure better than the Torpedo. But anyway, Tage Thompson, red hot, quietly leading the entire NHL this season in even strength goals. You could still get him plus money, plus 130 for a goal, plus 800 for two goals against the Jackets, who are terrible defensively. So I really like that matchup between two teams that are pretty much eliminated. Also like Anton Lindell, 23 shots on goal in his past five games. That's second in the NHL in the month of April. So look at Lundell, still plus money for three-plus shots on goal.
Love that. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, I can't believe it. We're closing in on the conclusion of the regular season here.
Get those brackets ready, Nick. Now that we kind of know the playoff teams, I'm kind of surprised we don't have like legit races. The way that the wild card races were looking in both sides, I'm shocked it's basically decided at this point, but excited to see what the matchups are going to look like. And yeah, next week we're going to get right into it. Very quick turnaround. Thursday, last night of the regular season, and then Saturday, first night of the playoffs, we get right into it.
Drop the puck and also check out the latest editions of NHL Unscripted. Barrett Hayton of Utah's on there. Energy Line as well. Bruce Boudreau talking about $8.95. Incredible stuff from Alex Ovechkin, Jake. So we'll talk soon, buddy.
We'll talk soon. Gabby, always love him. What a guy and what a perfect guy to talk about when it comes to Alex Ovechkin.
There you have it. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.